Welcome to VIP of the Month Spotlight. This month, our special guest is Myrna Spears from California. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the presentation. Here is our host, Teresa Rose.
Alrighty, folks, we're going to get started. If I could just give you a few reminders, no keying up during the interview. You will be given an opportunity to ask questions at the end of the interview. So we're going to get started, kick back, and we're all going to learn about Myrna. Welcome, everyone, to VIP of the month of August. And this month, we are happy to announce that Myrna Ann Spears from California is VIP of the month. Myrna, welcome.
Thank you very much, and hi, everybody, and thank you all for coming.
Okay, everyone, remember, I will give you an opportunity at the end of the interview to ask Myrna some questions, and I always tell everyone up front, you can ask Myrna anything you want to ask, but she has the option to decline to answer your question. So here we go. We're going to get started. We are proud to have Myrna Ann Spears, who was born on May 21st, 1941, and she lives in California. Myrna, our first question tonight is, tell us a little bit about your family and where you were raised.
Okay, I was born in Brooklyn, New York, and spent most of the first 32 years in New York City and around the city and state. And I am the third of five girls.
Five girls, no brothers?
No brothers. I always wished to have had a brother, but didn't happen.
Myrna, tell us, were you born visually impaired or did you go blind later in life?
Well, my mother said she noticed when I was about 4 months old that there was something wrong. Actually, I was premature. By 3 months, and they tell me I was a pound and 14 ounces, and they didn't think I was going to make it, but I fooled them. And my mother noticed, as I said, when I was about 4 months old, that there was something wrong with my eyes.
1 pound and 14 ounces, is that what you said? Wow.
That's what they tell me.
Now that's a little baby. So is your vision a problem due to lack of oxygen from being premature?
That's right. But I had good light perception as a child, especially, and even into my 30s. So I had an advantage that way in some ways.
All All right, Myrna, tell us, when did you realize that you were different from other children?
Well, of course, having sisters, I noticed, of course, my first older sisters, Marilyn and Eleanor. I was the closest to Eleanor by, I guess, 19 months or something. And I remember one day I got it in my mind, and I guess I was quite young, and I said to my mother, Mommy, can Eleanor see? And she said, yes, Eleanor can see. And I said, well, can I see? And she said, no, you can't see. So I mulled that over in my mind, trying to figure out what it meant. But, you know, it just, you go along after that.
So your eye condition is premature. I can never say that, Myrna, so you'll have to pronounce it. And exactly when did you start noticing yourself that your vision started to change later in life?
Well, I never really had vision, only light perception. And so I had it all through my childhood and into my 30s. And of course, I couldn't do the things that my sisters could do. They used to like to go roller skating. And the only roller skating I was allowed to do was I could have a skate on one foot and I could follow the fence all the way to the lamp post, but then I had to turn around and come back because after that, there was nothing to hold on to.
So growing up with that many sisters and with a vision problem, Myrna, did your sisters treat you differently, or did they let you join in and do everything that they were doing as your sighted sisters?
Pretty much. I would play hide and seek with them outside, and even, you know, we had a house that was what they used to call in those days a railroad house. So we had a lot of rooms we could run into and hide. But then even outside, I would play hide and seek with them. They tried pretty much to get me involved, but a lot of times they didn't, and that was okay too.
And what about your parents, Myrna? Do you feel like they treated you different from your sighted siblings, or do you feel like you were treated like a blind child?
Well, in some ways, I felt I was treated like a blind child. I know my father didn't really want me to go to school, and my mother really had to fight to get him, well, not even get him, but just plain to do it, get me to school. And but for the most part, my father was good. He tried to teach me things, how to use some tools, different tools, you know, that you use in the kitchen and around, and he tried to tell me different things also. My mother had a difficult time. She had it was hard with five girls, and she didn't know a lot of what to do, but she taught me to dress myself, which a lot of children in going to school did not know how to do.
So none of your other siblings, your sisters, are visually impaired, just only you. Is that correct, Myrna?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, and talking about school, you said your father did not want you to go to school. So did you go through mainstream school, or did they finally let you go to a school for the blind?
All my schooling was done at the New York Institute for the Blind, and from first to last. And he finally got the idea that it was a good idea for me to be in school after about 3 years of it. I guess his parents were old Lithuanian, you know, and she tried to convince him that, oh no, you have to, that's what you have, your cross you have to live with. And so it was kind of difficult for my mother, but she stuck to it, and I'm very glad she did.
So did you start school at age 5, 6, 7, or were you later going because your dad didn't want you to go to school?
I guess I started at 6, and it wasn't that wasn't really the reason, because my mother just found out about the school, so I believe that's when I started school.
Well, tell us about a little bit about the New York Institution for the Blind. Tell us a little bit about your experience there. And if you think that was the best thing for you.
Well, of course, having gone there, I suppose I would think it was the best thing. I think that there's the big controversy over school, residential and mainstream schooling. And I think there's something to be said for both things. But for the most part, I enjoyed my schooling.
Were you an A student, Myrna? You strike me as the type that would be an A student. And did you enjoy school? And what was your favorite subject?
Well, I think my favorite subject was probably English and history, which I still like the best. And I think that I just enjoyed school generally, being with children that had the same problems that maybe I had, and you really, it was such a community type place, you really got to know everybody really well.
So were you a resident at school, or did you commute back and forth daily?
I went home on weekends, as most of the students did at the time.
Well, we've all heard horror stories about residents in the school for the blinds. Were the house mothers and teachers pretty compassionate, and did they treat you well in school?
Well, in some cases they did, and in some cases they didn't, as would be usual. I think the house mothers did their best with what they had, and I think the teachers, well, some of them were very good at what they did, and some of them I think left a lot to be desired. But I think that's the case with every school of that sort.
But tell us, Myrna, do you still stay in contact with your schoolmates from the New York Institute for the Blind?
Some of them I do, yes. Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. What, Myrna, is the one thing that you remember getting into trouble for at school, and what was the consequences?
Well, the one thing that I really think about sometimes when I think about this is that I was given a slinky for Christmas or whatever it was. And somebody dared me to, and we had this beautiful set of stairs, you know, and so I threw it down the stairs, and what a nice racket it made. It was beautiful. And then came along Miss Margaret, or as we used to call her, Miss Witch, which she was, and she took it away, and she kept it for 3 weeks, and I thought I would never get it back. And finally, she gave it back to me.
All right, Myrna, we're going to move on just a little bit. Tell us, we are all dying to know how old you were when you got your first kiss.
Well, I was probably at a high school dance, and I was, I would say, 16, and I do remember that.
Well, be prepared, because John has a question at the end of the interview that he's going to ask you about that kiss. Myrna, did you participate in a lot of dances, and were you in clubs and things like that while you were in school?
Well, we had dances quite often in high school there, and I enjoyed the dances and the clubs. There, of course, there was a student cabinet club, which I wasn't ever a member of. The one club I was a member of was the baseball club called the Diamond Dusters, and Ed Lucas made sure that we had several very interesting guests involved with baseball who came to talk to us. So that was a very nice thing.
Now, understand that you are interested in sports. What is your favorite sport?
Well, of course, it would be baseball, because that's what interested me the most. And we used to play baseball of a certain type in school, and that's how we all got to know the game well.
So, do you have a favorite baseball team that you follow?
Well, when I was growing up, it used to be the Dodgers, but when they left in 1958, I decided I'd never root for them again. So now I'm out here, I root for the Diamondbacks.
Ooh, Diamondbacks. They're a pretty good team.
Right now they are. They're in first place alone.
Have you ever been to a professional game?
Oh, many times, especially in New York. We lived across the street from the Yankee Stadium, just about across the street. It was a very short walk, and you could hear the shouting from where we lived. So I'd go, my father and I would go to several games, and of course, several games I went with Ed Lucas and several of the other friends from school.
Did you ever meet a famous baseball player in person?
There were several baseball players that he arranged to come to the school, and Phil Rizzuto was one, and later on, many years later, I met Ken Boyer, and there were just Russ Hodges was an announcer, and I'm sure there were many others.
Tell me, Myrna, did you ever do anything that your parents were just totally livid with you? And what kind of trouble did you get into?
Truthfully, no. There wasn't anything that I think I did that upset them at all. Like they just seemed to be pleased with whatever I did. So that was a good thing. I think my first report card wasn't so good. I got in trouble with my mother on that one. And she said, "I can't even show this to your father." But so I don't think she did. But no, I don't think there was anything in particular in that way.
Now, Myrna, you never took a book of matches and set fire to the kitchen trash can or set fire in the wastebasket in the bathroom or set your pillow on fire, nothing like that?
No, nothing like that. I can promise.
Well, I was just trying to be a psychologist here to try to figure out how you became such a fire setter. So we know now that it's not from your childhood.
That is true, not from my childhood. The only thing that happened one time, well, this is later on when I was still in New York, and had a roommate, we bought a pizza, the pizza was delivered. I put it on the stove and I walked away, but I must have brushed against the burner thing, the thing that turns the burner on, and I went in the living room and all of a sudden I heard this sound like, and I kind of turned and I got up and man, I went into the kitchen, I could smell it, and I called for my girlfriend, she came. And she ascertained that there was nothing, no sparks or anything flaming up. Ooh, that was scary.
Oh, I bet it was. And I'm sure there's going to be quite a few questions about your interest in fires at the end of this interview, Myrna. Tell me, Myrna, and our listeners here, tell us some of your favorite childhood memories and what stands out in your mind that really is dear to you.
Well, I really liked when they used to take us to Orchard Beach at school, and I loved to go there. Every year they would take us, and it was a lot of fun because though I went to the beach with my family, it just wasn't the same because when you're with your peers who are blind, you can kind of relate together about things, but when you're with your family, they go off doing their own thing, even at the beach. So I enjoyed going to Orchard Beach, and I love the vegetable garden that we had at school very much. I used to like all the trips that they took us to, like the zoos and seeing all the different animals that they showed us.
Were you very close to your grandparents, and do you have any fond memories of things with them when you were younger, Myrna?
My grandparents in Pennsylvania were my mother's on my mother's side. We used to go there every summer, which is why I didn't go to camp like some of the New York Institute children did. We used to go to the country and go to my grandmother's house there in Pennsylvania. She made the most wonderful salads, though, that I remember really well. And on my father's side, it was just my grandmother, and she would visit quite a bit. She lived in the New York area as well. She would visit quite a bit.
Okay, Myrna, we'll move on to a little bit later in your life. Did you go to college to pursue further your education, or did you attend a technical school, or did you learn a skill?
Well, when I was 13 years old, I knew I wanted to be a typist. I knew that I wanted to put words down on paper. That's the thing I really wanted to do, and I did. So I became a transcribing typist. I did go to Manhattan Community College and take a history, American history course there. And out here, I went to San Bernardino Valley College, and I took just music, and and math, I think I took out here too. But that's the extent of my education.
So you took music. Do you play any instrument, or do you write songs by chance?
Oh no, no way. I took piano in school. And I did enjoy that, and of course we had choir at school as well.
So tell us about your career as a typist, as a transcriptionist. How long did you work, and what was the fondest memories you have from your career, Myrna?
I worked 11 years in New York as a transcribing typist, first for the welfare department in the city of New York, and then after I moved out here, after several years of doing other things in California, I became a typist again with LA County Children's Services.
Well, two different things, welfare and children's services. Did you like working in that area?
Not really. I didn't like a lot of the cases that I had to write. They weren't especially uplifting, but once in a while, when I was working children's services adoptions, some of the stories were quite nice. Yes.
Well, Myrna, in our conversation and speaking with you, I understand that you've had guide dogs. You want to tell us a little bit about them, and if you had a favorite, and any of your fondest memories, or anything funny that you can remember happening with you and your guide dogs?
I have five guide dogs altogether. The first was a border collie, and got the first was Bunny, and she and the second named Johnny, who was a big yellow lab, were from the New York school, and then the other three are from the school out here. All my dogs, each one is so different, as everyone will tell you, and I can't really say that I have a favorite dog, but in living in LA, as we did for a while, my big Johnny was an 80-pound animal, and I don't know how many times people would ask me if the dog bites. So does she bite? And I would always say, well, she has teeth, and that would be about all. They would get the message.
So, do you have a dog or any pets now? I understood that I don't think that you do currently. If not, are you a cane user, and do you consider yourself a good cane user, Myrna?
I can do it, but I don't really do much cane walking, and I don't have any animals at the moment. We always had a lot of birds, but an animal at this time, I don't have any.
Oh, what kind of birds? Did you raise birds or just have birds for pets?
Well, we didn't raise them. We had all kinds of, mostly, let's see. My first one was a parakeet called Pretty, and then there was Piccolo, and then there was Puff, and then there was Powder, and a whole bunch of them. But no, we didn't raise them, but we had them in cages there for quite a few years.
Oh, I tried the bird thing one time. I had a cockatiel and seeds everywhere. I was not my cup of tea. Myrna, so we really, really, really want to know how many fires you actually will admit to setting.
I'll admit to setting none of them.
Oh, I knew that's what you were going to say, Myrna. You are such a good sport. You're just a lovely lady, and I am so honored and proud to be able to spend this time with you and to learn more about you. And tell us, Myrna, some of your hobbies. We've covered baseball, but what are some of your other hobbies that you like to do?
Of course, reading and talk radio, listening to music. Some knitting, and I guess that would be about what I like to do.
What about your favorite author? Do you have a favorite author?
Not really. I used to like to read a lot of the Regency novels, and so I was into reading Marion Chesney, but I've gotten now to read just various authors and trying to get to read different types of books. Now that I have the Victor Stream, it's so easy to load them.
And do you prefer, is there a certain type of book, science fiction, novels, any certain type of books? I know you said you really enjoy history. Do you read a lot of history books?
I try to read books that are factual or history. Yes, especially I'm going to read one that I have on the history of Rome that I downloaded, and some current things. Just I have a variety up there that I just kind of go through and see what interests me.
Okay, what is your favorite song and your favorite artist?
Let's see, favorite songs. Oh, I go back, of course, I go back quite far. I used to like Eddie Fisher, and I used to enjoy all the songs from the 50s, really. And I don't really have a favorite artist at the moment that I think I would be interested in hearing.
Myrna, tell us the thing that you are the most proud of in your life and why.
Well, I won't say that I'm proud of this, especially, but I'm very gratified that I was able to take care of my husband out here when he couldn't do a lot for himself, and he didn't have to go somewhere else, that I was capable of doing that. And not that I'm proud of it, but I really am happy that it worked out that way.
And Myrna, you should be very proud of that. How long were you and your husband married?
40 years.
And I'm correct that you had no children, is that correct?
I never had children.
Lots of nieces and nephews?
Yes, I had several nieces and nephews. Two of them are out here, and there are others are in other part of the country. And they were fun growing up with.
Myrna, if you could change one thing in your life, we all have something in our life that we'd like to change at some point, but if you could only change one thing, what would it be?
I think that I would have accepted the job at the New York Institute when it was offered to me. I actually had the job of being switchboard operator, but instead I stayed with the job with New York City. Now that I think back, sometimes I wish I had had accepted that job because it was my school and I think I would have enjoyed the experience.
Myrna, if you won the lottery, what are the top three things you would do?
Oh my gosh, I never really thought about it. I guess I would help everybody out who I know needs help. That would be the first thing. Probably a church, and probably I'll save really well for the later years.
Those are all good three things to do, that's for sure. All right, Myrna, as the beginning of the interview, you said that you were originally from Brooklyn, New York. So tell us a little bit about how you got from Brooklyn to California and how long you were in New York and how long you've been out in California and what took you to California.
In the later 60s, 1960s, my family, of course, broke up. My two sisters married and went to both ended up in Virginia. And my sister Frances also left. She was the youngest. And my mother stayed at the house for a while, and then she moved with my sister Nancy to California out here. So there I was by myself in New York, but I had a roommate, so I had somebody with me, but it wasn't like having family. At the same time, I joined a correspondence club and I got acquainted with a family that needed somebody to care and stay with a lady during the day, elderly lady at the time, and I was 32. And I wanted to be closer to family, so I thought I'd do that. Now, in 1971, we had a big earthquake out here, and my sister Nancy said she was going to leave California. But by 1973, she was still there, or I should say here. So I thought, well, she'll never leave. So I made all kinds of arrangements, and I moved out here. But just about 2 weeks before I moved out here, she and my mother moved to Arizona. So I had already made all my arrangements, and so I moved out here to Riverside, and I've been here ever since, which is 46 years now.
Is that where you met your husband in California? And after that, Myrna, I'll go ahead and give you another question. Tell us how many earthquakes you have experienced while you've been in California, and do you think eventually California will drop off into the sea?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that will happen. I don't know whether I could count them. Actually, they're small. The big one was the Northridge one, and that was in 94 or something. I'm sorry, what was the first part of your question?
Is California where you met your husband?
Oh, yes, I moved down here in 73, as I said, to take care of this lady during the day. And then when she died almost a year later after that, I had joined the Mormon Church when I was in New York City, and so I knew that if something happened with say Mrs. Montgomery, that I would have a place to go, because the Mormon Church had a, it's called Deseret Industries out here in Colton. So I knew that I would be able to get some kind of employment. So when that happened, I moved out, I began my own apartment, and I met my husband. He was a truck driver for the what they call the Deseret Industries, and I began working there. I worked as just doing ironing and putting, it was a place, it still is, for the handicapped of all kinds. So I did some ironing, and I got bored with that, and so they let me go into the upholstery department, and I did a little bit of upholstering, and then after that they discovered that I could use the telephone, and so I began to also be helpful with the dispatch work for the telephone, where people would call in and say that they have items that they wanted to donate. And then after that, so I was married, came here in 73, and I was married in 75. And after that, we just moved into several different places.
Well, Myrna, I am learning that you are a jack of all trades. I had no idea that you were so diverse.
Well, that's very nice. That's very nice of you. I didn't know whether I would be able to continue typing, but when we moved to Los Angeles, I thought, gee, you know, one of us has to get a good job, and so I interviewed with L.A. County, and at that time, I wasn't sure of my typing skills, but I did take the test, and it was at that time was also a grammar test. They said I did very well with the tests. And I know I did well. I couldn't believe that I had passed the test well enough too, because I hadn't been typing, you know, for all these years, since 73, and then now we're talking back up to 1984. So I really wasn't sure that I would be able to do it, but I did, and I worked for LA County then for 26 years.
Absolutely remarkable. How many words a minute could you type, Myrna?
I don't know whether it was ever clocked or not. I really don't know. I couldn't say.
Are you still a good typist today?
I am a good typist because, like everybody else, we're on the computer. And, of course, that's very much like typing. And, yeah, I used to write letters all the time, though. Even on my manual, I used to write letters to presidents and governors and mayors and just anyone that I, because in those days, you know, it was no sense in trying to make phone calls because they were so expensive. So you wrote letters all the time, and I couldn't believe it. I ran across a whole bunch of letters that I had written to different people, and well, I sure did give my opinion, apparently. And I still write my diary today. I used to write it when I was 12, and after many years, I quit and then came back to it. But today I write it, and I write it on the computer.
Well, out of all those interesting people that you wrote letters and gave your opinion to, and as you said, the president, did you ever get a reply?
For the most part, they would reply, yes. Yes, and they were always very polite, even if they didn't agree with what I wrote. So yes, and in those days people wrote letters, you know, and it's not like it is now.
Exactly. You'd get a format letter back from the president if we all wrote Donald Trump today. Myrna, if you had an opportunity to go back to New York, would you ever think about it, or would you ever want to return back to your home state?
I think I would if it were a way that would work. Because in New York City, you could travel around the city so easily that a blind person would have no problem traveling, especially if you're in Manhattan, which I did live in Manhattan for several years. So yes, I love New York, and I do miss it. in lots of ways, although I know that no place is what it was many years ago.
Have you ever been to Times Square? And if so, what was the most memorable thing that you remember about it, Myrna?
Yeah, I've been to Times Square, but not to New Year's Eve. I never went there. I never had the courage to go there because the crowds are tremendous, of course, as you all know. But I've just been through Times Square, just for some reason going through it to get to one other place, maybe. But it's a very Midtown Manhattan is very interesting. And anyone has the chance, they ought to go, because it's amazing over there.
Myrna, in thinking back on your whole life, what is the most daring thing you think you've ever done? Would that be uprooting and moving to California or something else?
I think it would be, now that I think back, I think to myself, gee, why in the world did I really do that? You know, because as you get older, you get more cautious, but I wasn't then. I just wanted to be with family, and I thought, well, this ought to work out for me somehow, and it did. But it was kind of quite different when I moved out here. The whole area is different, and it took quite a while to get used to. I remember when I moved out here in September, and we didn't have rain. I'm thinking, where's rain? And all of a sudden, it rained in October. I was so excited. And that's the way it is out here. No, and the air is different. We moved out here. In La Sierra, there were orange groves, and you could smell the wonderful orange blossoms. I used to love it. Now it's all built up and developed, and they tore away those groves a long time ago. So everything changes. But the most daring thing I do think that I have ever done is move out here.
Myrna, you are a woman of faith, and you're always in our worship service here on VIP every Sunday. Talk a little bit about your faith.
Okay, I will. I was born Catholic, as my whole family were Catholic, and I moved into a residence in New York City called the Catholic Center, and then I would listen to the radio, and I did listen to the Mormon Church broadcasts, and I liked their music from the choir, so I ended up joining the Mormon Church at the time. And when I moved out here, as I said, I knew that I would have some kind of employment and friends out here because of that church. Anyone might know that church, the culture there is very close, and they do look out for you, I think, back then even more than they do now in some ways. Anyway, I met my husband and been through various, I guess I would have to say, acts of God. We discovered that the doctrine was not Christian to our life at all, or in many ways, and so we both, and eventually after a few different steps along the way, we both became Lutheran Christians, which is where I am at the moment.
Well, your faith is strong, Myrna, and I know that is very important to you. Myrna, tell us how long you have been a member of VIP, and how has it impacted your life?
Now, as to that, I will go back, because the reason I'm at VIP at all is because I went. Rick and Pauline were schoolmates of mine, and we were in touch, of course, for many years, and then we went many years when we were not really in touch. But when a dear friend of ours died in 2000, I think it was 2005, I thought that they didn't know. So I called them And of course, they did know about it, and we had long conversations, and then they introduced me to VIP and to JAWS, and they taught me a lot about how to use the JAWS, and as you all know, how knowledgeable I am, you all know that. And it's just been a great... Well, I joined VIP in, it could be October, maybe November of 2005. But I went many years with just being sporadic with it, until 2016, because now by this time I'm by myself, and so I started to go into the room, and now I have friends here that I consider my friends, and I love VIP. Love the worship services and the camaraderie here, and I guess that's most I can say.
Well, Myrna, VIP is honored to have you part of VIP because you are definitely an asset. And you are such a pleasure to be around. And it has been, again, my honor to be able to interview this evening. Myrna, you're a remarkable person. You've had a remarkable life. And like I said, I did not realize you were a trick of all trades. And thank you again for agreeing to be the VIP of the month for the month of August. We are going to open the floor for questions at this time. I'd like to take one question at a time. So if you would key up and one at a time, let Myrna answer your question before the next person keys up. Okay, the floor is open for questions.
Myrna, first of all, I want to thank you for taking all the ribbing you get from all of us on here. You're a pleasure to have on here. And your favorite singer, Myrna, I don't want to name who he is, but... I have a question, Myrna. When you got that first kiss, when you were just sweet 16, what song would describe that kiss?
Well, the song I think that would describe that would be, you know, "You Are My Special Angel." That was his particular song to me.
Anybody else got a question for Myrna?
Myrna, great interview, and I learned things about you I never knew. And by the way, do you recognize this voice from the distant past?
Indeed I do, Rick. We used to call you Freddie, remember?
I sure do. I remember that exactly. And you were far more generous describing the staff and the faculty members at the Institute. You were very kind. Some of them were rather draconian in their approach to discipline. Do you remember that? Even you got some hard knocks from them. I probably got a lot more than you because you were far better behaved than I. But they had some good teachers there, but they had some that I wonder about. Today probably would be somewhere else, not there teaching at the school, maybe in Siberia.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility. And I don't think they were too concerned about credentials at that time either.
Anybody else got a question for Myrna?
I was just going to say that Myrna, my wife and I have known one another for over 70 years, folks.
Myrna, I'd just like to thank you also for coming on and also being a great member of VIP, and like John says, taking all the ribbon we give you. And folks that don't know about the fire deal, Myrna is all around where they've had all the fires there in California, and it just came up one time. And so now we all accuse her of going out and starting forest fires. And she takes it so well. We have a good time with her and look forward to every night when she comes in the room. She takes her share of ribbon and takes it well. We all love you, Myrna.
Myrna, it was what a wonderful interview this was, and we do love you here. You're a special person to all of us on VIP, and you had a very interesting life, that's for sure. And you said your husband was a truck driver. Was he home every night, or was he on the road?
Well, now, as to that, he used to go, of course, the thrift store had him traveling all over, so he would go way out into the desert country area, so he sometimes wouldn't get home till quite late at night. But he was home every night. It was work that he did with the thrift store, actually, Bill. And yeah, he was the main truck driver there.
Well, Myrna, I do want to thank you for participating and sharing that with us. And it goes to show that if you desire, there's a lot that you can accomplish.
Myrna, I really appreciate your sharing with us tonight. I've gotten to know you better tonight than ever I knew you before. I met you on here and we've talked a few times, but I knew very little about you. But you sound like a very strong-willed lady and one that's pretty determined doing what you do. And anyway, thank you again for sharing with us.
Well, Myrna, I'm here to tell you that my night is not complete until I've heard your smiling voice. It makes us all happy to hear you smiling every night, and I look forward to it. But I'd like to get into a little bit more of your intimate love history. I was told that when you left New York, there were 6 broken hearts left behind, and that when you got out to California, you told a good friend, "Watch and see, girl, within 30 days, I'll have a fresh string."
Well, I didn't know that in 2 years I would be married. I did not go out here with that intention at all. So I was happy that at least that happened. No, I don't think I left anybody behind. That was the people that I did have my little romances, as we all did. But everybody found their love life, and I was happy to have come out here and find Robert.
Myrna, thank you so much. This was a great interview, and you are such a dear person, and I've enjoyed getting to know you also. And I must say, she is a real sport, because those guys just give her a hard time every night about the same things, and she's just such a good sport about it. I feel sorry for her sometimes, because they're relentless. But she just laughs at them and keeps on going. But thanks a whole bunch for this great interview, Myrna. I enjoyed it, and you definitely are an asset to VIP, and I'm really glad you joined us.
Yeah, Myrna, it's a great interview, and Teresa did a great job of pulling all that different things out of your life, and so we could hear all about you. So congratulations to both of you for doing a super, super job of on the interview here.
Yeah, Teresa does a great job with these interviews. It's not easy to try to draw somebody out that maybe doesn't come out quite with the answer that you think that maybe it wouldn't. She's really good about doing that. And she's a great person, as all of you are who came in here to listen to me. It's not easy to talk about yourself this way, and I really appreciate all the encouragement and the good humor. You guys, all of you, you wouldn't believe some of the stuff these guys come up with. I'm telling you, it's amazing. But anyway, I really enjoyed it, and again, thank all of you, unless there are any more questions.
Myrna, again, just thank you so much. We're going to open it back up and see if there's any questions, and before I give my closing statements. So anybody else have a question for Myrna? And thank you for your kind words, Myrna. In speaking with Myrna, I told her we were going to have a little fun about setting fires. She, as Terry said, she takes it so graciously, and California has been in our prayers because of all the forest fires that they have out there and all the loss of homes and people's lives have just been torn apart. So Myrna, you do take it so graciously, and you are a very special person, and I am very pleased and honored to know you and consider you a friend. And Myrna, thank you again for granting me this interview, and you did a great job, and you have a life to be very, very proud of. Folks, the announcement for the VIP for the month of September, which will occur on September 24th at 7 p.m., and your VIP for the month of September will be Grandpa Ned Benton. And we look so forward to interviewing Ned so we can learn more about him. I enjoy doing these interviews. It is a learning experience for me to get a little bit closer to everybody, and I enjoy it so much. Again, thanks everybody for coming, and I've got one more thing for you, Myrna. This is from all of us at VIP.
Are you lonesome tonight? Do you miss me tonight? Are you sorry we drifted apart? Does your memory stray to that bright summer day when I kissed you and called you sweetheart? Do the chairs in your parlor seem empty and bare? Do you gaze at your doorstep and picture me there? Is your heart filled with pain? Shall I come back again? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome tonight?
Myrna, I wonder if you're lonesome tonight. You know, someone said that the world's a stage and each must play a part. Fate had me playing in love with you as my sweetheart. And Act One was where we met, and I loved you at first glance. You read your lines so cleverly, and you never missed a cue. But then came Act Two, you seemed to change, and you acted strange, and why? I've never known. Honey, you lied when you said you loved me, you lied, witch, and I had no cause to doubt you. But I'd rather go on hearing your lies than to go on living without you. Now the stage is bare, and I'm standing here with emptiness all around. And Myrna, if you don't come back to me, you can burn this old house down. Is your heart filled with pain? Shall I come back again? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome tonight?
I hope they catch you, firebug, lying, cheating woman.
Myrna, we love you. And thanks, everybody. Thank you, Myrna. And good night.
This has been a presentation of VIP Conduit.